Good morning and happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for coming this morning. As we all know that if it's a few more days before a new year begins. In our panel discussion this morning, it was just an uplifting of the area that, for those of you that were not here this morning in our Sabbath school lesson, I would highly encourage you to go home or even download any app, study this lesson for this past week with the deepest leading of the Holy Spirit, because that's the only reason why we come here from Sabbath to Sabbath. This will be in vain, brothers and sisters, without the knowledge and understanding of what this lesson was all about. We can come in Sabbath to Sabbath, but there's going to be a final end of our gathering here at San Jose Central. So before I move on, let's have a word of prayer. Our dear loving God in heaven, we just want to thank you again for this time of service, time of worship, time of glorifying your name. May you allow the Holy Spirit to lead this service, and that way we can learn a life like Jesus, like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Another year has almost gone, and we are at the brink of another. What kind of year has 2018 been for you? How is 2018 been for you? If you rate a scale of 1 to 10, where would you be in that from 1 to 10? I leave it that way. But the area that I must focus on today is the area that's the reason why we are here, brothers and sisters, is as 2019 will come into our life. The title of this message is Resting in the Faithfulness of God. How are you going to trust God when you find that your faith being tested? Are we being tested every day? We are just you, and you don't know what God is doing in your life. And your prayer seems to go unanswered for some reason. And the devil just harasses you, and your plans are frustrated, and your friends have all deserted you. And somehow between you and God, there seems to be this cloud. What do you do? Where do you turn to? How do you respond? Well, some people respond by simply saying, God doesn't answer my prayer. God isn't he who he says he is. If he were, this wouldn't be happening to myself and to yourself. And so to get into the victim mode, or you just trust the Lord when you don't see your way clear and you keep moving forward. Yes, 2018, those are just numbers that come in a calendar. But how was that Christmas that came across the global? How is Christmas become an important of reflecting? Christmas is not the Christmas that everyone celebrates on the 25th, but it is a way of plan of salvation that each one of you and myself to be involved in. Probably in all our lives, at some point, or the other. There are those seasons when we go through situations and circumstances that we would almost be willing to say, God really and truly is not genuinely faithful. I guarantee you at this moment in time, those words that were just said completely come into their midst because of the circumstances they are facing at this moment. Now we believe that he is, because you are here, brothers and sisters. But look what's happening in my life. I come to church every Sabbath, but what is happening into my life? And so we are prone to judge God by our environment. Have you traveled many cross along San Jose? What's happening? And we judge God because if he were a just God, why is those happening? A news in the lesson that we see sometimes. An officer stopped at a stop sign. This guy, for some reason, shot him dead cold. It is facts. And then when it comes to the reality of the time of testing, that's when we decide whether we really and truly believe it or not. 2018, maybe a lot of testing into your life and my life, I have. What I want to share about this message is I want to talk about an attributes of the Lord our God. I want to talk about something that affects every single one of us in our everyday life. And every time you pray, and every time you find yourself in a spiritual battle, or whatever it might be, you are affected by what we want to talk about. Because all of us face those times when we genuinely, not that we want to, but we genuinely question that God is faithful to me in this incident. Is this situation and this circumstance, whatever it might be? So let's turn now. Can we turn our Bible? Go back to the reading of our scripture reading. To the book of 1 Corinthians. And the first nine verses. Are we all there? Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sothenes, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in every by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is simply a message of resting in the faithfulness of God. All of us meet with those situations and circumstances, and times that will cause us to at least doubt of a moment, God, where are you? And as we said, there will be like some dark cloud hanging between you and him. But Paul here, encouraging us listeners, even at Corinth, this also applies in us, brothers and sisters. And I want us to think about for a few moments, all through the scriptures of God is reminding us of his faithfulness. And so, let's go back. Let's turn back to the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 9. Write them down and study it for yourself. Are we there? Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Thousand generations. That's many, 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 many generations. Then if you want to flip over to the book of Psalms, 119, verse 89. What's my question? What's the longest chapter in the Bible? The longest chapter in the Bible. We are just here. Psalms 119 is the longest chapter of the Bible. Verse 89. And the Bible reads, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." He says, "Forever. O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth and it stands." Then move all the way over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Amen. "He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." He is faithful and he will do every possible. He says, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." Then move over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. Amen. Listen to this. "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." This is a powerful word. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And now let's move to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Amen? "Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful Creator." And now, everyone should know this word, this verse by heart. 1 John 1, 9. How many of you know this by heart? 1, 2, 3. Amen. Let's go. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. When we are faithless, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Now, what does it mean when we talk about the faithfulness of God? It means that He always does what is right, isn't it? He always does what is right. He always does the right thing about everything in every single situation. Not only does He do what He says He'll do, He fulfills every single promise that He makes. All of us have those promises in the Word of God that we treasure those promises, especially meaningful to us because of what's going on in our life. In the passage, God somehow comforts us with it. So when He says that He is faithful, it means that in all times, in all things, in all circumstances, God is always the same. He never changed. He doesn't falter. He doesn't forget. He always there to fulfill His promise. The lesson that we have, like I said this morning, promises that was foretold by His prophets, foretold of the Messiah will come. And now He ascended to heaven and He will come again. Will that happen? It will happen. Because if He doesn't fulfill His promise, then He is not God. And if you think about what your favorite promise in the Word of God would be, He is there every single time. And probably all of us have seen those situations in all circumstances. And when we come to that verse and say, Lord, here's what you promised. Why isn't it happening? Well, is it happening or is not? Is God doing it differently? Well, if God is doing it differently, according to His promise, then He is not God. He says, for example, He cannot lie. He cannot fail because He is God, and He is a God who is faithful in every single circumstance of life. Now, it's one thing to say that, and if somebody said, well, why do you believe that God is faithful and will be faithful every single time? First of example, we go through situations and circumstances, and we cry out to Him for God to help us and strengthen us and enable us to face it. So what is our proof? It's one thing to say that He is. But when you look at the whole idea of God's faithfulness, there are 5 attributes of God that are absolutely necessary in order for God to say that He is faithful. But there are 5 of them that are absolutely essential. God is going to be faithful to me and to you in every circumstance of life. And the first one is simply this: He must be omniscient. In order for Him to be faithful to me, that is, He must know everything there is to know about me. Does He know everything about you? Give me one example. He knows every single hair do you have. Even the hairs that have probably fallen on me. That is, He must know everything there is about me. He must know things about ahead of time. What is my future? Friends, to tell you the truth, growing up in the little town of Luzon, knowingly growing up in a little cul-de-sac of our BIBLE, the book was said over and over, and when I learned Jesus loves me, I would not see my future speaking before you. I was the shyest people you could ever see. It is. But he knows present, past, and future. He knows about every single need that we have, our wants, our desires, our weaknesses, our frailties. He knows everything. If he did not know every single thing about us, if he could not be faithful to meet our needs, whatever they might be, so his omniscience, he knows everything. One of his attributes is that he is omniscient. The second one is that he is omnipotent. He cannot promise me to be or promise you to be faithful in every circumstance of life if he's not all-powerful. If he carries the weight of the world upon his shoulders, he's carrying the weight of this world. He can carry you at no time. Because there could be some situation, some circumstance, well, but what would God do? If he's not powerful, then that means he cannot under any such situations or circumstance fulfill every single need or protect us in every situation. So he's not only knows everything and he is all powerful, but likewise, number three, he must be omnipresent, which means that he is always within reach. How can he be within reach? He is within reach. Because the Word is alive and active, isn't he? He's within reach. And we're always within his reach. Like I said, if he carries the weight of the world upon his shoulders, brothers and sisters, he will carry you. That is, we'll never see a situation whereby he is not present, ready and able to do whatever is needed in your life. So when you take those three attributes alone, somebody says, is God faithful? I would say, yes, he is. Well, how can he be faithful in every circumstance? Because he knows everything. He has all power to change anything he decides to change or move, and he is always present. Now, those three can be possibly accept and say, well, I can understand that. But there demands something else. He must always be truthful in every circumstance. For God to be faithful, he must be truthful. Has God not been truthful to you? He has been truthful. Because if he is not truthful, then I have a problem. And so when we think about his truthfulness, let's look at a couple of passages of the scripture. One which is in Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Amen. In those the hope of eternal life, which God who cannot lie, promised long ages ago. Would God ever lie? No, he cannot lie. Because if he lied, he would be violating his own character. And the very character and nature of God is such that he cannot lie. He is always going to show us and tell us the truth. And now let's go to 2 Timothy 3:13. like I read earlier, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. That is, God would never mislead us. He would never say anything that would cause us to head in the wrong directions in life. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, always present. And when you look at these passages, he's always truthful. So whatever he promises, for example, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Is that true or not? True. And so when we walk about the faithfulness of God, every single promise that he makes, he is going to fulfill. If he's not fulfilling some promise in your life to suit you, you have to ask yourself the question, is this promise of God or is this something I made up? When you doubt God, is that from him or is that from you? That's from our own thinking. It's a promise of God that you have to listen to the very nature of God. Is that he cannot prove to be faithful, untruthful, inadequate, unknowing, mistaken, in error about anything. So the very basis of my belief, he is faithful, God is his very nature, and he says, as he cannot lie, and even when you and I are unfaithful to him, he says, for example, that he is still doing to be faithful no matter what we do over and over again. He says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Amen. And it says, First Peter 4, verse 19. Correct. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to faithful Creator. So ask yourself the question, do I really and truly believe that God is absolutely, unquestionably, always without exception, faithful to his word and faithful to us as followers of Jesus Christ? He is also faithful to the unbelievers, isn't he? John 3:16 said that, the whole world. But what I want you to see in that very basis of your believing is that he is faithful to you, that he'll always be there. In his very nature that cannot change, that who he is, but there's one thing, another one of his attribute is that, is simply this, his immutability, which means he cannot change. That God does not change. He's a God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. For example, in Malachi chapter 3, let's turn to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And the Bible reads, for I am the Lord, I do not change. He's always been the same. He is the same now, and he will always be the same. It is his nature that he's unchanging. And apart from those five attributes, you can have a God who is faithful. He must know all things. He must have all power. He must be available at all times. He must be a God only of truthfulness and one who does not change. Many things around us change, but he doesn't. He treats us just as he has treated people all throughout. He'll never change. It is his nature. If God changed anything about his promises, then we would have uncertainty. So you and I come to him in prayer. We make our case to him, our needs, whatever the needs may be. And the issue is, do I believe it or do I not? And so we know that in 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15. Let's go to 1 John 5, 15 and 14. Amen. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's the confidence we have. When we call upon him, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, then we know that we have the petition that we have decided of him. How can we know? How can we make sure that God will hear us? Because he promised us. So can God change that? No, because if he changed that, he would change his truthfulness. This is a promise he has made, and the promise of God are powerful. If I ask anything according to his will, he is going to hear me. And if I know that he hears me, I know that I have the petition that I have desired of him. And if I ask something that's not his will, then he is under no obligation to answer them. So let's think about an example. If God is not faithful, God with all these attributes, when you go get down to pray, what would you think? You'd think, I hope so. If all these things are not true, you'd pray, well, I hope so. And the truth is our relationship would be meaningless. How can you have a relationship with somebody you do not trust? It's impossible. And if God's changing his mind, not exercising his power, you don't know how he is going to operate. Excuse me. Then there is no assurance, no confidence in our life. And how would we respond to life if we don't have unconditional promises of God? And you face storms in life. When you and I go through storms in life, what gets us through them? The promise of God in us. Lord, you said, here's what you would do. If I would pray and trust you, if I yielded my life to you, it is the unconditional promises of God that get us through the storms of life. And if he's changing and if he's altered his course somehow, then what happens? We have no assurance, none whatsoever, or what's going to happen. So it's all based on his faithfulness that God is who he says he is and does not change. it would certainly be impossible to have any kinds of real, true, genuine assurance and confidence if God was not absolutely faithful. So let's think about why we can rest in his faithfulness. For a few moments, we said we're talking about resting in the faithfulness of God. How can we rest in that no matter what we're facing? Turn to Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Amen. Though the Lord mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So we can rest in his faithfulness simply because he's not going to change and he is a faithful God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. One of the reasons we can rest in his faithfulness is because he says, here's what he says. He says, whatever he calls us to do, he will empower us to do it. That is a promise of God. That's an unfailing promise. Whatever he calls us to do, he will empower us to do it. So, for example, you say, well, maybe God is calling me to be a Sabbath school teacher, an evangelist. What is my promise? My promise is this. He says, if I call you to do it, I will empower you. So, friends, if they ask you to do something, don't be afraid. Giving a children's story, which can be challenging at once, at least for myself, God will empower you. What's this? I wouldn't even be with honest God if he called you to do something and then did not enable you or to help you bring it to pass. Likewise, he says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And if you don't believe that he's faithful, then how will you ever know? If God is not faithful, I would never know where I am. The only reason you and I know that we're saved is because we believe that he is true to what he says. Likewise, I think about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible reads, no temptations has overtaken you except such is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It says, no temptation taken you, but such in a common to men. But God, look at this. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. to bear. But with the temptation, he will provide the way to escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Here's what he's saying. He has put a limitation on your temptation. Now, if that passage of Scripture were not in the Bible, we'd say, well, God, listen. The temptation is so strong. God, you're the one who tempted me. We even blame God at some point. No, God doesn't tempt us. He says he doesn't. And there's what else he says. This is his promise. He says, I will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. If we'll trust him, he puts limitations on temptations and trials in our life. He has a limit. He has a limit. Why? Because he loves you and me unconditionally, and it would even be righteous in the eyes of God to require us to do something that he knows that there is no possible way to us to do it, and he doesn't come to our rescue and help us to do it. He says he will make a way to escape, that whatever we are dealing, he will help us to bear it. Psalms 119, verse 75. Let's go back to the longest chapter of the Bible. Verse 75, the Bible's, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. That is, sometimes the affliction that comes upon us is God's doing. He is faithful to his word, and so he loves us enough that he doesn't want us sinning against him and living disobediently before him. And so, what does he do? He sends enough afflictions to get our attention, to change our attitudes, change our mind, to start living obediently before him. And sometimes we think afflictions and difficulties and hardships are all bad. None of it's from God. Yes, discipline is from God. It's an act of faithfulness to get us back in line doing what he would have us to do. And of course, we have talked about his unanswered prayer. And let's think about what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew chapter 6, he says, our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we even have them, and that he'll meet our needs. Is that a promise? Yes, it's a promise. And you say, well, is it conditioned? I think it's a condition. It's conditions if a person's... Forgive me if I use this word. I think it is conditioned. It's conditions if a person is lazy and is slothful and doesn't care. That's a whole different issue. But God is willing to. He is willing to meet our every single need because he is a God who loves us unconditionally. And that the kind of love he has. His love is unconditional for his children. And therefore, he is going to meet every single need that we have. And he says, for example, that in Romans 8:28, you know that by heart. It says, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Is that a promise? Yes, it is a promise. And if we didn't have that promise, think about the frustration we would have in a difficulty and hardship. If God is allowing us to go through difficulty, he's a God of purpose. He is a righteous God. In other words, he isn't just sitting back and watching things happen in your life and minds. He is involved in our everyday life. We have been indwelt by the Spirit of the living God and have been sealed forever as a child of God. We have an awesome God. In the first verse of the first chapter of the Bible, when it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." The God word there is Elohim. Infinite power, absolute in his faithfulness. That's the God who is unchanging, who loves us unconditionally, who has the best for us, who comes to our rescue in any and every situation, who limits the trials and heartaches he allows us in our life. And here's the issue. You can look at this book. You can go from Genesis to Revelation, and you're not going to find any verse in here or anything God does that he makes a mistake or he is in error or he forgot. God never say, "Oh, I thought." He never say, "Oh, I see." He doesn't say any of that. Why? Because he is this infinite, indescribable, awesome God who loves his children and who is committed to us for all eternity. Now, there's one last thing I want to say about that. He's also faithful to the unbelievers. How can that be true? Well, let's turn to Matthew 7, 21 and 23. Amen. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" He says, listen, he is faithful God who keeps his word. People who pretend to be Christians and pretend good works and think that's sufficient and boast that it is, he says, there's going to be separated from God for all eternity. Look, if you will, in John 3:16, and we know John 3:16 says and all that, but when it comes down to verse 36, let's look at that, verse 36. I can memorize John 3:16, but what is verse 36 says? It says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." This is people who are lost are under the wrath of God. And this is what he says, he is a God of truth. And so he's going to be faithful to that. Look at in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. The Bible said, "Then I saw a great white throne, and in him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. Verse 13. Then the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each one according to his works. 14. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And 15. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is he a God of just? You say, do you believe? Do you believe all that? There's going to be an end of this world, brothers and sisters. It's not going to be going all this forever. Well, let me ask you a question. Does God lie? What we just read? No. He doesn't. What I want you to see, having never trusted Jesus as your Savior, do you understand that it has nothing to do with the love of God? Has nothing to do with the love of God. God loves you unconditionally, but he is a God of truthfulness. He is a God who keeps his promise. And listen to this. He is a God who keeps his promise and his warnings. That is, you disobey God, there will be consequences. You obey God, there are great and wonderful consequences. You must choose what to believe or not to believe as God, who is a God of truth, who does not change his mind, who has all power, all knowledge, always present, and a God who loves you unconditionally. Will you reject him? You may still say, I don't believe all that. But let me just remind you, your unbelief does not change the promise of the living God. That puts you in a pretty bad spot. You can change that. You say, well, how? By acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who went to the cross, and when he went to the cross, he laid down his life on the cross, shed his blood for you and me. That is, he paid our sins, debt in the full with his life. And the moment you and I ask him to forgive us our sins and surrender our life to him, it isn't just something you say. You yield your life to him. In that moment, your sins are forgiven. The Bible says you are sealed with the seal of the Holy Spirit and of his promise. Your name is written in the book of life. You are forever a child of God. But can you be lost? Yes, if you don't always cling in his faithfulness. Father, friends, yes, 2018, as I said earlier, you may have many trials, but God has always been faithful. This today was not promised to us from yesterday, but because of his faithfulness, we are here hearing and listening and encouraging that 2019, whatever temptation, whatever trials you may go through, rest in the faithfulness of God. And like I have encouraged you this morning, before I move on, to go back and study this past week lesson we have. It's just an amazing understanding of the new heaven and a new earth. I was just sharing to them when I was there. There's no roses here. There. I was going to pick up a flower of a rose. A tree rose have thorns. But I truly believe that when the new earth will be, there will be no thorns on that rose. Because that's also a way that he said, thorns and thistles, he says, will grow in after the fall of man. But the new heaven and a new earth, that will be removed. May the living God and his faithfulness will live in your life. 2019 will become anew. And with that hope of that new heaven and a new earth, we are eager and tell the good hope of salvation. God bless you all in 2019. Praise team. And the sticks you have, the children's story was awesome. And the stick that was given to me is that be more loving. And that's what I have. Shall we stand for our closing song?